Not sure if you are aware of this, but the human brain seeks safety in numbers. And it registers feelings of loneliness as a threat. As our world continues to evolve, we must put strategies in place to feel connected, to feel part of a community. From the Sky Terra Wellness Retreat, this is the Inspired Intentions Podcast, where we help people build the skills and mindset to live a healthy life. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and during today's conversation, Shalom, Sky Terra's therapist, and I dig into one of the most overlooked determinants of wellness, social health, and how chronic feelings of loneliness and isolation are damaging to our health. You deserve to foster positive relationships in your life. You deserve to feel connected to the people around you. After our discussion, we will get your focus right for the rest of the week. Up first, Alan, with your listener Q&A.
Thanks, Jeff. Our question today comes from an Inspired Intentions podcast listener, Mary Ann. And I believe Mary Ann was a past guest here at Sky Terra as well. And she actually requested that we have Matt on to answer her question. So I got Matt Wendling here in the booth, one of our fitness specialists. He's been on a couple episodes. Matt, thanks for taking a couple minutes out of your lunch break to come on and answer Mary Ann's question.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. So Mary Ann is doing some strength training while she's at home. And so her question is, she's doing strength training maybe 2 to 3 times a week, and she finds sometimes that she's sore. And after her strength training sessions, she may be sore for a couple of days, and that might bleed over into her next strength training class. Do you recommend not lifting weights if you are still sore from the previous session? And any advice would be appreciated. I think this is a great question for you because you teach a class called Rest and Recovery, yeah?
Correct.
And Rest and Recovery is all about what?
Just priming our bodies for recovery, trying to enhance muscle growth as well as obviously aid recovery.
Yeah, so what advice do you have for Mary Ann and her her question?
Well, I first would like to say that it's a good thing that you're becoming sore following a workout. What you're probably experiencing is DOMS, otherwise known as delayed onset muscle soreness, which is a perfectly normal, perfectly healthy adaptation to strength training. So it's good that you are sore. Again, I would typically recommend 24 to 48 hours between strength training sessions. So what that could look like is if you are 2 to 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, hit your strength training. Definitely want to keep working out, exercising. Don't want to sit still. So keep your strength training going. You do want to get blood flow to those muscles that are sore. So keeping on your regular routine would be a good way to do that. In between your strength training sessions, so say like if you are going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, consider Tuesday and Thursday as a day to do some more active recovery to help facilitate that soreness out. That could look like 30 minutes of walking, 15 minutes here or there of walking, cycling, swimming, really whatever you prefer that's low impact, low intensity, to keep blood flow to the body, to those areas that are sore on your quote-unquote rest days.
Awesome. So you recommend active recovery. Don't skip your next strength training session if you're sore, Mary Ann, and you feel like that's a pretty good regimen for somebody that's going 2 to 3 times a week.
100%. Yeah. What you're doing when you're training while you're sore is you're overreaching, which is a good thing. That's actually how you build strength and muscle. That's actually termed functional overreaching. So that's actually a good thing to keep doing. I would keep on what you're doing. I wouldn't, definitely wouldn't take it off. Definitely don't want to sit still while you're sore. That can actually make symptoms last longer. So just keep the body moving, keep blood flow throughout the body, and I think that'll help aid in your recovery.
Awesome, man. Well, that's a super tight answer. I know I appreciate it, and all of our guests appreciate your rest and recovery class here on campus. And Mary Ann, I hope that was helpful, and we hope to see you again here soon.
Thanks, Mary Ann, for the question.
Yep, thanks, Matt.
You got it.
And if you have a question like Mary Ann's or one that you feel is right for the Inspired Intentions team to answer, shoot me an email at inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Who knows? We may just answer your question right here on the podcast. But before then, enjoy the rest of the show.
Hey, listeners, welcome to our show today. We are going to be discussing how loneliness is damaging our health. We have brought on our therapist, Shalom.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be back.
Yeah,
thanks
welcome back, Shalom.
Me.
Yeah, we're so grateful to have you on air. Are you excited about the topic today?
I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. It's something that we continue to see across the board, something that, you know, I continue to work with clients with even before the pandemic. So I think it's good that we're going to touch on this today.
Yeah, nice segue, because despite the pandemic, our social health is not looking good these days. And so our general discussion is going to be around relationships and interactions with family, friends, coworkers, and community members, because when we are not cultivating those relationships, it can have a major impact on our health and well-being. And so what we found before deciding to do this episode is that there has been a 25% decline in social health, and it's even worse in young adults and women. Second to that, when you think about health outcomes, they're heavily impacted by the connections that we have in our life, not just by our lifestyles. And so I wanted to do a conversation around this for quite some time, because SkyTerra Wellness is essentially a social experiment. And we get a lot of interesting observation through the work that we do. Is that a fair statement, Shalom?
I would say so. I think that is, again, teaching boundaries and self-care here. I hear a lot of, I have so many toxic people / relationships in my life. How do I deal with them? And again, that is a cause of loneliness.
Yeah. So let's jump right into what is loneliness? How would you describe it, Shalom?
So I would say it's the pain that we feel when our social connections do not meet our needs.
Yeah. And when you say pain, what type of pain are we talking about?
So we're talking more than just, ouch, I stabbed my toe pain. we're talking about, again, that internal pain, those feelings, those thoughts that come back over and over again of, man, how did I end up here? How did I end up so alone when, you know, 10 years ago, I had a tribe, I had people, I had a support group to lean on, like, how did I get here? So it's that subjective feeling we experience of being alone. Again, the state of being alone and feeling sad about it and kind of thinking to ourselves, man, where did my whole support group go?
Mm-hmm.
Now that I am actually going through something that maybe it's not the happiest time of my life, like, where are all these people that I used to be able to call at any time and just lean on for advice and in order to get through trials in life?
Yeah, it's like almost where do those relationships go? And I want to take a step back, because you use the phrasing state of being alone and feeling sad about it. And I think this is what's interesting, is sometimes we might have people in our life and we don't feel the way we're supposed to feel. We can still actually feel lonely. So I think the second piece to this is not only like being alone, but feeling sad about the situation when we start to have that emotion of sadness.
Absolutely. And I think it's very important to also take a step back and recognize that people will not always make you happy.
Great
like,
point.
You cannot allow people to have that much control over you.
Yeah.
If we are looking for happiness in others, you got to take 10 steps back and just go over that again, because recognizing again that, yes, we are not meant to live alone and be alone, but at the same time, we also can't put that much pressure. Like, I can't be like, well, you know, depending on how Jeff's mood is today, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to feel very happy at my job today.
Yeah.
Like, I can't put that much pressure on you. After all, we are all human.
Yeah. What you're saying is happiness comes from the internal feeling that you cultivate with yourself, not just with the relationships in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really hearing is we want to find happiness in all areas of our life and not just get happiness from others around us.
Absolutely. And again, people can bring you joy, but it is not up to people to make us happy. You got to come back to the you and what again, like things that you enjoyed doing for yourself. And then from there, building on relationships to that.
Yeah. I love the proactive reflection there where it's like, what steps can we take as individuals to create our own happiness? And as we segue from talking about what loneliness is, I think what I found interesting in looking into this topic is that psychologists have actually identified four distinct types where you can have emotional loneliness, social loneliness, situational, and it can also be chronic.
Absolutely.
Do you see this a lot with guests, like chronic loneliness specifically?
Yes. And that is something, again, that when we get to talking and processing things that they have gone through, whether it's the past 2 years, whether it's past 10 years, or just even through their childhood, things start to pop up. And that's where we see, again, the parallel process of how those two are connected. Again, yes, COVID, big deal. But at the end of the day, it's past COVID years. It's tied in more to the people who we are, what we learned through our childhood, our adulthood, and what we're still holding on through that. And that's where, again, a lot of that chronic that you mentioned comes out. And it's like, oh, this is far more than just my body hurting. It's an internal situation where I haven't dealt with in years.
Gotcha. And it's not just because of that certain season in someone's life. It has a lot to do with the past and their...
Well, how the past is bringing up the current situation. So again, when we experience, you know, situations, whether you want to call them traumatic situations or not, and somehow they link up, or we tend to get triggered in a way in the now, that's where I go back and say, you know, tell me about your childhood. Tell me about things that have happened in the past, and seeing how that is connected, or if it's connected at all.
Because sometimes to loneliness.
Yes.
Understood. Okay. And I think what I'm hearing is maybe we've lost someone in our life. Maybe we've gone through a job transition. Anything like that that changes our environment or impacts our emotions could lead to us feeling lonely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Change is hard.
Yeah, 100. Now, shifting gears from loneliness, we definitely have heard a lot about social isolation. And I think what's interesting is if we look at the research right now, even as things have opened back up, it hasn't solved this feeling of loneliness and this feeling of like isolation that we're seeing. How would you describe social isolation, like the definition of it?
I would say that's the state of having smaller number of social contacts.
Okay. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I'd love to elaborate on that. So again, just because we went through this pandemic where things got shut down and everything that happened in the world, yes, our friend group got smaller, all the things got, you know, smaller, but at the end of the day, you have to make the decision on how do I put myself back out there? How do I learn how to interact with people, with the world? It's kind of like a baby. You know, a baby doesn't just go from laying on its back to running.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we all went through that period of we got to learn how to walk and talk again in a way how we used to do it. But now with, you know, after COVID, the whole mask thing and the booster shots and all the things that came with that, it's like learning how to socialize again as
like
a
almost,
normal human
almost
being.
Getting used to it again.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we were isolated from people. And even if there wasn't a pandemic, sometimes in life we self-isolate from those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, could examples include around social isolation, like extended stays at home, like lengths of periods of time. What are some other examples of isolation?
Yeah. When you cut all communication, like, for example, with family, with friends, acquaintances, again, just avoiding any contact with any other humans when the opportunities do arise, because that's a choice. It's a choice that we've made as humans.
And it's almost one of those situations where, like,
people are constantly asking you to do things, but yes. in your heart, you don't feel like doing things. Is yeah. that like a kind of a something we could see show up when someone's feeling lonely? Mm-hmm. And then maybe this is what I'm getting at. Does loneliness lead to social isolation?
Oh, for sure. And then it leads to, you know, feeling sorry for myself because nobody mm. wants to hang out with me. But in reality,
they actually might.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We have to put some of our own part into this whole perspective. I get it. It's easier said than done. But at the end of the day, when people ask you to do something, maybe, you know, you can set those boundaries up with yourself and say, I will choose to do 2 social things a week mm-hmm. and start there to kind of just dip your toes back in the water.
I love that. And I actually have been working with a guest virtually. And one of the strategies that we've implemented is making sure that she has structure mm-hmm. to the times when she feels lonely.
Yes.
So a tough time for this particular guest is the late afternoon to the early evening. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen from a progression perspective is as this individual puts herself out there more and has a plan for the lonely time, we start to see improvements.
Absolutely. That is a great safety plan. When we know that hour is coming where we tend to run to the Oreos or we tend to, you know, run to that glass of wine mm-hmm. to make us feel better, to make us feel like there is a companion in our life. But having that safety plan, knowing that, you know, from the hours of 5 to 8, that is where I feel the most lonely. And instead, I'm going to have a little bit more structure around that time. And again, you know, processing that, knowing that that is your, I guess, your Wicked Witch hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, thoughts and feelings are all going to come together. But knowing, okay, during that hour, I need to go for a walk. I mm-hmm. need to be finishing dinner. I need to having that safety plan. I love that.
And thinking through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're already diving into some of the action steps. And I think what I wanted to let listeners in on is how does this actually impact someone's health? Because we said earlier in the conversation that there's more than just living a healthy lifestyle that impacts your health, that mm-hmm. this social health piece is very, very important. So why is it a problem if we don't deal with our loneliness, have a plan for it, and remove ourselves from these periods of long isolation?
Well, for one, you know, we have seen that it shortens your lifespan. Research has shown that both loneliness and social isolation are independent risk factors for higher costs of morality.
Mortality?
Sorry.
Morality is cool too, though. Yeah, yeah. And you said independent risk factors. So research
yes.
has shown that both loneliness and social isolation are independent risk factors, meaning when we separate all the other stuff out, there is a link to less time on the earth.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Any other problems with
yeah.
not solving this?
Yeah. Let's, you know, talk about the damage in the physical and mental health. A lot of people, I actually was doing a session with somebody not too long ago, mm-hmm. and they were talking about how due to their anxiety, their heart was racing, you know, they thought they were having a heart attack, mm-hmm. Pain just all over the body, but in reality, it was a panic attack.
Oh, wow.
And just recognizing that your mind has that much power over your body, that you're feeling all this internal pain, but in reality, it's the things that you haven't dealt with in the mind.
Your mental health yes. impacts your physical health,
oh,
is what you're saying.
So much.
Yeah.
And that's honestly where it all starts. You know, here at SkyTerra, we have a beautiful just overview of like how it's just far beyond eating healthy and exercising.
Mm-hmm.
It has to start with your mind. If
yeah.
if things are not okay upstairs, then
it's
nothing
good, it's
else falls into place.
Else.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think in this guest's particular situation, did you think just through your work, not to disclose confidential information, but was she experiencing feelings of loneliness, was like that maybe a factor that was leading to the panic attack, the increasing in anxiety?
Absolutely. Due to health concerns, she was very afraid to go out and do stuff.
Oh,
because
wow.
It was a lot of like, you know, what if, what if, what if. Again, when you start that sentence of like, what if, you're looking into the future. You're causing yourself to feel that anxiety that you cannot control.
Yeah,
you cannot control. You have to come back to the present. Like, are you safe right now? And if you are, then let's move forward with today. We cannot worry about tomorrow, because that's where, again, the increase of anxiety just comes out and it would not be good.
Yeah, and maybe to put the deeper health angle on this, loneliness, when it's not solved, becomes a form of stress on your body.
Yes.
So your body responds. Usually we're going to see a linkage to higher blood pressure and potential increases in heart disease or even coronary artery disease as well. And this is in the literature. And I like to point that out because our listeners, they love the science.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think anytime we can link to what you're saying, not working on the mindset piece, the mental health, and how that then impacts our physical health. Like, we want folks to address what's actually causing the problem in the first place.
Absolutely. I mean, just, you know, get a poll of people and ask them how many are having trouble sleeping. Most of the time, we're going to see at least 8 out of 10.
Yeah, that's a lot.
8 out of 10 people. I mean, how many people are attending your sound sleep class?
It's been popular.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hit or miss. However, those who are coming, like, I think they relate to that, to loneliness maybe being a factor and the stress and the anxiety being one of those things that keeps them up at night.
Absolutely. And that's, again, staying asleep. If you have that much anxiety due to X, Y, and Z, that might be caused by the loneliness. Like, yeah, you're going to sit there and you're going to think over and over and over again over the, you know, how life used to be, how you would like life to be. But at the end of the day, like, what are you doing about it?
Yeah. It's constant, just like thinking about what I used to have or how it actually is versus maybe taking action on
it. Yeah. And then, you know, when we don't take action, that's where we see the increased symptoms of depression.
Okay. Okay.
Because
that
then
makes
we
sense.
We begin to dwell on the things that used to be. And they're no longer there. So then it's almost like I want to go backwards. But in reality, we can't go too backwards or too frontwards. We just have to be present.
Well said. And I think what I'm hearing is, like, if we're focusing on that used to be, this can be kind of a warning sign.
Absolutely.
That something needs to change socially.
Yeah.
Real quick, what unhealthy lifestyle patterns do you see show up when someone is isolating and feeling lonely?
Yeah, I definitely see that, you know, people start smoking.
Really?
Like, I'm like, what? Like, I thought that was like a 90s thing. No.
Uh-huh.
People begin to cope with that mechanism. Not healthy, obviously. Their alcohol consumption goes way up again. Nothing wrong with having your glass of wine, but when you're drinking that bottle of wine a night, yes, we're going to have a problem eventually.
Probably not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you know, that's going to lower your physical activity. Like,
especially with the link to like depression,
absolutely.
As you're saying. And if we're, you know, not, if we're depressed, we're not going to be motivated to move our body.
No. And then along with that, it's going to be linked with how you nourish your body. And actually, like, are you nourishing your body or are you just eating what feels comfortable or what feels easy? So, yeah, with all that said, you know, obviously we're going to see just a lot of health problems overall, where that's when we see the people who come to SkyTerra that are like, I'm here for a reset.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice example of like why someone decides to come to SkyTerra is they, you know, start to feel the impact on the everyday basis and they see the unhealthy patterns, like lifestyle patterns that they're using for comfort. So, wow, obviously this sounds like a problem. If we're feeling lonely, if we're not taking care of our social health, we're going to not be on the earth as long as other people.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to damage our physical and mental health, and it does reduce our quality of life. So before we get into like, hey, here's the steps we want listeners to take, are there any other warning signs that someone could have in their toolbox that tell them, hey, this loneliness has gotten to a point where I need help?
Yeah. What I tend to see with clients is their sense of like routine. There is no routine. There is no structure. Before they know it, they have lost their purpose of, you know, this is who I used to be. This is what my purpose used to be, but I am no longer there. And, you know, a lot of it, Jeff, I see with people who begin working from home or people who are transitioning into retirement.
Yes, I see the retirement a lot and the remote work, which are...
And I mean, again, it's great that you get to work from home with your jammies on, but I would really highly encourage you to continue that structure, that routine, that even if nobody is going to see you, still, you know, put it in your routine to shower. Because yes, believe it or not, I hear a lot from people like, oh, you know, I only shower whenever like... I
go
leave
out
the house
or if I'm around people
one time a week. Mm-hmm. And hygiene is a huge thing, because when you stop taking care of yourself, that's where we see a lot of that loneliness really creep up. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, you have put on, you know, 20 extra pounds, nothing fits, your hair looks a mess, like you're more prone to not go out anymore, especially with people that you used to have relationships with. So I would say continue that routine. Because that's going to be the first sign of like, I am in a bad place, in bad shape, and I don't even know what to do about this. Routine and structure.
Yeah, it sounds like the telltale warning sign is any changes in your self-care practices like that are normal for you is something you need to keep your perspective around.
Absolutely. And I mean, again, the state of loneliness is hard, and it's not just a switch that you can turn it on or off.
Wait, you mean if I'm feeling sad, I can't just walk into a room and
easier
flip a light
than
switch?
Done, right? No. but I would say, again, we all need that support system, and it's like we're going to have to get out there to build it. And I would even encourage you to reach out to a third neutral party, AKA a therapist, to talk about these feelings, to process through them, and then to work on some potential action plans on like, how do you want to move forward? What is in your control? What is out of your control? And what do you want to do about it?
I love that. Yeah. Always going to the action. And just before we go into like what I would call our six steps for listeners today, just to be uber clear on what you can do after this conversation to improve what we're discussing. I want to take a step back and normalize that like we can all feel lonely at times.
Oh, absolutely.
And even if you're not falling into like this chronic picture that we're painting of loneliness, just know that there's daily strategies that we can integrate so that we don't have as many feelings of loneliness. And I'll speak frank, you know, as a leader of a team, there's always that phrase, it can feel lonely at the top.
Yes.
And I think we have a lot of business folks out there that may experience that. And, you know, I always relate it to the fact that a good leader should be a servant leader.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a servant leader pushes their self-care or pushes other things on their plate like away to hopefully take care of the team. And it's just interesting to know that this can happen on a daily level, and we want to avoid this happening for too long a period of time.
Absolutely. And I mean, again, I say this in my self-care class, self-care equals self-respect.
Ooh,
and good. Even though we all want to save the world, maybe some of us want to save it more than others.
Alan.
he's not here to defend himself.
I know. Alan's not on mic, listeners. But he definitely is making an impact in the world.
Absolutely. But again, you cannot save anybody without first taking care of yourself. The phrase that comes to mind is, again, you cannot serve from an empty vessel. And for those of us feeling lonely, we are pretty empty. So how are you refueling yourself? What are the things that you enjoy doing, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Go back to that. go back to that and start doing things for yourself again.
And I'd add, what are the things that bring you enjoyment mm-hmm. with other people?
Yes.
Because sometimes we do things with other people that aren't super fun for us.
Yeah.
And I think it's reflecting like back in your history of like what is really fun for you. And even for me as a personal example, like I used to golf like crazy with mm-hmm. friends. And golf just takes a lot of time now.
A lot of time
so
and money.
And money as well. So I don't do a lot of that. But I am hearing what you're saying mm-hmm. is look to the past positives
absolutely
to help you in the present moment.
Also schedule them. If it's not on the schedule, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, I've been meaning to go to, you know, that arts and crafts class on Saturday morning, but somehow I just run out of time or don't have time, whatever it is. Put it on the schedule. That is, I would say, step one.
Yeah, you're right. If you don't plan your life, then your life will plan you. So let's go ahead, get into our six tips. These would be the six main tips that we suggest for listeners today. What is the number one thing besides starting with a schedule? I think that's mm-hmm. within here, but we might say it a bit differently. But what would you say for folks who think they're dealing with loneliness, socially isolating? What's step one?
So I would say, you know, establish ways to maintain feelings of being connected.
What could that look like for somebody?
Really just looking internally at, again, what are you feeling? Is this your stuff or somebody else's stuff? And then like, what do you want to do about it?
Okay. So looking internally.
Yes.
And making sure that there's nothing off within you that's leading to that lack of connection.
Absolutely. I mean, literally everything starts within yourself.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is kind of like our speed round, listeners, just putting a nice bow on the conversation today. Number two, what would you say?
I would say, you know, spend more time with your family. And if that is not an option, reconnect with positive relationships.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that, because not every relationship with a family member is always the most positive.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. And then thirdly, I would say maintain social connections with the use of technology.
And this could look like Zoom calls, FaceTime.
Absolutely. You know, I've heard many people enjoyed book clubs, but they're not able to go to a physical book club.
Mm-hmm.
There's this thing called Zoom. You can you can schedule your book club meetings, you know, an hour a week, even FaceTime calls, whatever it is, like get creative with it, but make sure you don't lose that sense of technology. And again, that sense of connection with others through that. Fourthly, also structure every single day. We talked about this.
That was like kind of your number one.
Yeah, absolutely. Structure and have a calendar in front of your face to know what's going on your daily basis. Like, sounds silly, but yeah, plan out every single hour of your day, even if you put nap time from 12 to 1.
And if you usually shower every day, make sure you continue to shower.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Put it on the calendar. Put it on the calendar. It's a reminder of like, I am taking care of myself.
I'd say for the retired listener, that's a great tip as well. And I think that's one of those things I see a lot when someone's feeling lonely, mm-hmm. like we said earlier. It's just not even planning out what the day is going to look like.
I would even say to add to that, to the hygiene perspective, when we are feeling lonely or a state of depression, do a shower versus a bath. There is something about that water hitting your face that kind of wakes you up and lets you know you're still alive and well, versus just sitting in dirty water in a bathtub.
Yeah. Great tip.
So, yeah. And then also, you know, maintain physical and mental activity. So get outside, even when it is raining. I know we can make excuses of, oh, the weather's not so nice today, or it's so hot today, I'd rather just stay inside. Stop making excuses. Grab a raincoat, grab some rain boots, whatever you need. Dress appropriately for the weather and get outside. That vitamin D, even on cloudy days, is good for you.
Yep, you'll get the serotonin. You'll get all of those healthy neurotransmitters that do make you feel good and calm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, pursue those outdoor activities.
Love it. So just a recap, if you feel like your social health deserve some improvements. You want to isolate less. You want to decrease feelings of loneliness. Establish and maintain feelings of being connected. Spend more time with your family, mm-hmm. at least the family members who bring energy into your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Make sure to still have boundaries where necessary.
Yeah, family or positive relationships.
Positive relationships, yep.
Yeah.
Third, you said, was maintain social connections with the use of technology. So let's use Zoom. Let's use these things that can definitely help us remain connected. I have a friend. He never calls me. He always FaceTimes me. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It's just like his way of connecting with me.
Yeah.
Fourth, you said structure every single day.
Absolutely.
Fifth is maintain physical and mental activities and getting outdoors. So pursuing even more outdoor activities because of how that makes us feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, go read a book outside.
Love it.
Yeah.
And could we say, like, come to SkyTerra?
Oh, absolutely. That is a great way to, again, quote unquote, reset yourself.
Yeah. And just as we start to wrap up our conversation today, I believe that's something that has surprised me the most at SkyTerra. We have a strategic anchor. It's to make sure that when guests come to our program, they have a small and intimate community feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I am shocked by the relationships that have been built here,
yes,
that then continue outside of these walls. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that people come here and they do feel lonely.
Yes.
And then they actually create a connection with someone on campus that they're like, wow, like, I can experience this level of social connection. Like, this can still be there for me. And I think that's kind of like fun and unique about putting yourself out there in a social experiment, as we said earlier.
I mean, it's a reminder to all of us as human beings that we are not meant to do life alone. Like, we are meant to have community and those positive relationships around us. So technically, it is up to us to take that first step. And yeah, we won't connect with everybody, but at the end of the day, like, just remember, like, you are not meant to do this alone.
Well said, Shalom. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you so much for
being
with us today.
Yeah. Till next time.
And listeners, stay with us for our 5-minute focus. There's a lot going on right now. Internationally, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Nationally, the disagreements between states and our federal government, as well as the crashing stock market. You might be asking yourself, when will it all end? Well, short answer, probably never. This is a part of how life is, how it progresses. Now, I'm not one to get involved in things outside of my control, but I do believe it is okay to be angry. The problem is that we were raised to think that all feelings of anger are wrong. That if you get angry, you shouldn't express it. Push it down, hold it back, and by all means, make sure you don't get mad. However, what do you think typically happens when this is the road you decide to take? Think about this on an everyday level. You might get angry with your partner, a teammate at work, or even with yourself. You decide to practice patience and don't breach the issue. You start by saying to yourself that everything's good, or it'll be fine. It'll work itself out. The word fine should be an indicator for you. Anytime you tell yourself something is fine, you're gonna be running into a little bit of trouble if you don't address it. And as the weeks, months, or even years pass, something starts to occur. Your patience runs out. And in my experience, the worst is when you lose your patience with yourself. Here's the deal. There are some things that should make you angry, especially your own wrongdoings. And yet most of the time, our anger is selfish and not necessarily righteous. Let me say that again. Most of the time, our anger is selfish. The difficulty is understanding the difference between altruistic anger and selfish anger. So how do you swim in the waters of anger? How do you freestyle through this and flip over onto your back? What's the best course of action? Be slow to anger and quick to the ownership of the selfish kind. Let me say that one more time. Be slow to anger and quick to ownership of the selfish kind. When feelings of anger start to be present, sit with the feelings for a bit. Ask yourself, is there validity to how I'm feeling? What responsibility can I take for these feelings? And is it selfish because I envisioned things to go a certain way and they didn't? The simple step today is to practice patience. Take time to understand your feelings of anger and the part you may or may not be playing in it. Also, if it's beneficial, try to uncover the pattern. Look for the pattern. If this is something that keeps reoccurring, you have to remember that there's always a time when patience runs out. At the end of the day, nobody wants to live with anger. Nobody wants to move through life, their day to day, angry at everything around them. Life is so much better when you are slow to anger, when you take time to realize if it's the selfish kind or the righteous kind. This week, the icing on the cake is to remember that anger is actually a necessary part of love. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Shalom. It's so interesting to discuss something that we don't always think about, and we have to remember to foster and cultivate positive relationships in our life. As you move through this week, don't forget to be slow to anger and quick to the ownership of the selfish kind. This has been the Inspired Intentions Podcast with Sky Terra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. If you have questions for the Q&A segment of our show, we would love for you to email those in. You can send those questions to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. If there is anyone out there who you are very connected to, please share the Inspired Intentions podcast with them. We hope that as our listeners share the content, it can make a difference in the lives of the people who you care about. We look forward to having you join us next week as we continue to cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Have a great rest of your week.